Radio Decidim. In autumn 2019, we celebrated the first edition of Decidim Fest, the global meeting of Decidim. It was an invitation to think about the relations between technology and the challenges of democracy in the networked society. The goal of the following talk is to discuss the emerging alternative to do businesses in tech, focusing on ethical funding and democratic ownership and governance structures that are designed to marry purpose and profit in a sustainable way. Listen to Tech of Your Own, How to Grow a Business with a Purpose, from Kasia Odrasek of Mozilla Foundation.
Hello everyone, my name is Mariona Schiller and I'm a co-founder at SocoTech, a digital social innovation laboratory located 3 streets from Fabra y Coats. Today, it's an absolute pleasure to introduce Kasia Odrasek for her vital and professional itinerary, and because we share purposes and passions, open culture, software, social innovation, and our dear Mozilla Foundation. As you might already know, Mozilla Foundation is a global nonprofit dedicated to keeping the internet a global public resource that is open and accessible to all. Kasia is an activist, entrepreneur, lawyer, and political scientist for the open web and digital rights. And in that framework, she firmly believes in the capacity of people to reinvent the way power and property are distributed, because creating social value is what really matters. Her trajectory includes nurturing an open culture and developing software with Wikipedia communities, leading TapeWright, developing alternative-facing models, financing models for publishers of audio, and today she is the project manager at the Internet Health Annual Report at Mozilla Foundation. The Internet Health Report is a collaboration of hundreds of academics, nonprofit organizations, research centers, and activists around the world, an analysis of where and how technology is improving our lives and the world, and where it worsens them. It gives a global vision of the state of the network while encouraging the debate so that we have the internet we want and not the one we currently have. Since 2011, Kasia collaborates with Global Voices, an international community of writers, bloggers, and digital activists who aim to inform about what is said in citizen media around the world and does not sediment in the conventional media. Barcelona Today brings together a growing number of projects in the field of digital social innovation, which confirm how technological and digital changes are carried out, producing a positive impact for people and the city. The debate that Kasia proposes today is framed in the DSI Play, a digital cycle of meetings on digital social innovation organized by the City Council of Barcelona and Barcelona Activa, promoting synergies and co-designed by our dear colleague Ana Higueras over there, also from SocoTech, with 8 organizations and including Decidim Fest. The cycle gives voice to the local and global communities to discuss new models of circular and shared economies, digital social entrepreneurship, cooperativism, sustainable and innovative project platforms, characterized by working together for society by the hand of local associations, democratically controlled enterprises and social businesses, focuses on the values of equality, equity, democracy, and solidarity. Kasia today will present a new type of economy, a fair, inclusive, less exploitative, less destructive to society and the natural environment, an economy that adapts to the society that puts social objectives before the maximization of profits. The goal of this session is to discuss the emerging alternatives to do business in tech, focusing on ethical funding and democratic ownership and governance structures that are designed to fuse purpose and profit in a sustainable way. Its purpose is to explore together the opportunities and challenges of each of these models and their possible interactions with cities. So, with no further ado, Kasia Odrasek.
Gracias. Thank you so much. That was an amazing introduction, amazing ego boost. Hola, soy Kasia. Un placer de ser aquí. Thank you. So, one person approving of my Catalan there. That was it for the Catalan, unfortunately. I will continue in English. Hope that's fine for everyone. I'm delighted to be here and to see this community that I know from the online world now, a year physically present. I'm a big admirer of the Decidim project. And happy Halloween to those who celebrate it. We will talk today, I'll try to talk today about different ways to do business. So I wanted to understand a little bit who are you in the audience today and what's your overlap with that topic. Could you maybe raise your hand? How many of you have a business or are an entrepreneur of some kind, maybe social entrepreneur or different kinds? Oh, quite some people. I assume the rest are frustrated users or employees and workers. Is that right? Who's frustrated by the ways things are going in the online economy these days? Also, a couple of hands. I will start very shortly by talking about Mozilla. I'm sure most of you know that Mozilla is the maker of Firefox, the browser that fights for you, that protects your privacy with everything we do. We're trying to put people before profit. Also to tell you a little bit about how we are structured, the Mozilla Foundation is the sole shareholder of the Mozilla Corporation with the maker of Firefox and open source tools, and then Mozilla Corporation functions as a self-sustaining social enterprise. So money earned through our products are being reinvested in the organization. And the Mozilla Corporation develops Firefox, but also we go into emerging technologies such as VR. We incubated a programming language called Rust. It's a community, self-sustaining community right now. We also work on a common, so-called common voice. It's like a database for voice recognition, democratizing voice recognition development. So there's the tech side of things, but at the same time, the Mozilla Foundation does a lot of programmatic work to fuel the movement for what we call the healthy internet. And we support a diverse group of fellows who meet yearly at our Mozilla Festival that just took place last week in London. We also do a lot of advocacy, trying to pressure companies to change their practices to be more user-friendly and put people before profits. What we also do is a publication. This is what my team does. I run the production of a publication called the Internet Health Report. It's an open source publication that was mentioned. It's open source because we invite a lot of people to contribute to it, and also it's licensed under a Creative Commons license, so people can take it and use it for their purpose. And it's a publication, it's a compilation of research that's publicly available. We visualize data around the internet and itself, and we tell stories. We find people, we interview people, we tell stories about people and projects who do something to make internet healthier. Healthier in a sense of, does it serve our society or does it more harm us? So, big topic, we're trying to look at the entirety of internet through a framework of 5 issues. These issues are openness, obviously, our core value, privacy and security, decentralization, web literacy, and digital inclusion. So we look at like what's happening these days in the internet ecosystem through different angles. We look through technological angle, legal angle, societal, but also through a business lens. And in the last report, we also zoomed in a little bit on the business model and how do the biggest companies make money, but also into what are the emerging alternatives to how the companies are structured. And I have a personal interest also in this topic. I started digging more into it because it might seem like an eternity to me. It certainly does, but I have not always been at Mozilla. I had a life before. I spent a couple of years working for Wikimedia, but between these two jobs, I decided to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to have a startup on my own. I wanted to go into business. I wanted to understand how it is. I wanted to see if I can do it. So I joined a couple of friends of mine. They are actually, most of them were from Gran Canaria, Spanish folks. We had a lot of fun and building a podcasting startup. Podcasting platform, we are very idealistic. We wanted to empower small podcasters make money without ads. And we wanted to add a visual component to the podcasting podcasting platform. We wanted to be good. We wanted also to keep the open ecosystem of podcasting, RSS, and so on. And a lot of these features of our platform got us a little bit into trouble when we started thinking after we bootstrapped, like to kickstart the company, because we had to have some kind of funding, starting capital. Who are we going to pitch to? How? And what does it actually mean to join an accelerator for startups? I don't know how familiar you are with this. I wasn't that much. I was idealistic, but I started to research that. And I started to read and look at what does it actually mean to take VC money, venture capitalist money. Because in most cases, it means giving a lot of control over your company. So no matter how idealistic you were, it will mean that there will be people from the outside coming inside of company and telling you you need to grow, because what they're going to have, they were going to put a lot of pressure on you because they want to get their money's worth. And back then, I remember we started thinking about, should we maybe like do a non-profit out of this, a foundation? But at the same time, we wanted to do business. We wanted to make money. We wanted to grow and scale. So all of these existing structures aren't always the exact fit for what we wanted to do. And back then, I remember I wished that there was some kind of like overview of what is out there. Is this the VC capital and the traditional path for startup? Is that the only way to go? So this is the status quo right now that I hope will start changing slowly. But so many founders, most of the people I talk to who are starting a startup, a business, they have this idealistic startup idea. But when you look at the internet landscape these days, a lot of tech companies actually put us, a society, in trouble. Because of this exponential pressure to grow and so on, they go more for, they want to maximize their profit coming from ads. To show targeted ads, they need to exploit our data or exploit workers, when you think about Uber, for example, or rushing algorithmic solutions, because AI is now all the hype, without maybe thinking about the consequences and how that these data sets they're using might harm society. So the question is, like, what happens in between here? Oops. And I think Shark Tank, I don't know if you're familiar with this, I think in Spanish it's called Negociando con Tiburones. It's a program where startup founders present themselves in front of VC funders, super entertaining in TV. And that stands here for exactly this this trajectory that is very prestigious, very hyped by in the startup world, of going, pitching, getting I don't know, like $800,000, let's say, or a million even if you have a great idea, and then giving out shares to and part of the ownership, so a lot of control to people who are investors, who then start pressuring you into taking certain decisions when it comes to, because every founder, when you go into product development, you're going to have milestones when you have to decide how will your product exactly work, how will your business model exactly work, and there's not anymore the purpose that's there, but the purpose and your original mission takes a backseat, and what's prioritized is the revenue, because you're not anymore just the sole owner of your company. And the investors usually coming from the outside, they are, let's call it, purpose agnostic in best case. So how do we change this? What solutions are out there that aren't too naive and idealistic? I just recently read this like little anecdote, or actually hopefully a fact from 1500, the Jesuits, the monks, like then they had this system when they wanted to invest into something, they had like this cash box, and the cash box was, you were able to open it only when like putting two keys and opening it simultaneously. And these two keys belonged to two different people. The one person was the accountant, who made sure there is actually a budget in place and there is like a sound business plan that you're going to make profit. And the other key belonged to a rector who actually had a vision. What do you want to change with this venture? What do you want to do? And I think this is the kind of change we need in business today, how to balance the purpose and profit. And you could say, and many people say, does every company need to be a social impact company? After all, there are structures that support already this, there are nonprofits, there are social entrepreneurship networks, B Corps, and so on. But all of this, the support structure, they aren't enough if you really want to be like a business founder, if you want to go into technology. And I would argue that today's most mundane technology impacts our life in the much deeper ways. It shapes how we move around the cities. You take a scooter, you take an Uber. It shapes how we pay our bills. It has shapes how we communicate, how we develop relations with our loved ones. It shapes the healthcare and so on. So, and I think Ben mentioned that already yesterday. Technology became this layer on our public infrastructure. Public infrastructure that traditionally also was owned and governed by public institutions. And if that happens, then I think it's time to rethink also the structures that the technology is running on. So in a sense, I could say that almost every tech these days, as it scales, it becomes a social impact tech. So we need to also rethink how this company operate and who takes decision and what is the power dynamics within. Because is it right that very specific group of people, venture capitalists, with very specific preferences, and let's call it out, a lot of bias as well, because only a very small percentage of women, people of color, get actually VC funding for their startups, and they determine who and what gets funded to build the next generation of technology that then shapes our life. I think that's not right. And also, is it right that this business still operates in ownership structures that incentivize maximization of profit for these investors? And lastly, is it right that this is the most prestigious, hyped, and cool trajectory for every startup? I think all of this is not right. And as I mentioned, we need to ask ourselves, whose interest should technology serve? I think it should serve us as a society, as it takes more and more space in our lives. So the question is now, if you wanted to change the status quo, how would we approach this? And I just like jotted down here on the slide like a couple of levers and a couple of like elements in the structure of every company that influence the decision making, influence the product decision making, and how the technology company then impacts our lives individually and as a society. I think, as mentioned, funding is super important. Funding from who and which kind of bias and obligation comes with the funding, the ownership, who owns and co-owns the company, and do they have voting rights? Governance, a topic very, I think, close to your heart here with Decidim. How do we take decision if there are like several people who should take the decision? How do we organize the decision-making process and which decision should we take collaboratively, which one not? And then business model, which is a little bit of a result of all of this, people who get into play and the stakeholders within the company. How do we actually make money? Will it be sustainable or will we be waiting for the next series of funding? And of course, there is an ecosystem also to be considered around the company, which is such as legal frameworks, laws, cities, and how they support certain ways of doing business. There is accelerators of different kinds, and of course, there's investors also of different kinds. So all of this and other companies who might support each other or be in competition. So I quickly wanted to show you something that I developed for the last ModFest when I was working with a group of people and trying to, in a playful way, come up with a new construction of a company. I don't know if you're familiar with the business canvas that are usually when you start a company, every training tells you to fill this out, to understand that you kind of thought about all the elements of the company. Usually there are contributors, users, revenue streams, funding, and so on. And I just replaced it with exactly this five levers, five elements. I think this is, I called it the Don't Be Evil canvas, a reference to a certain tech company who also wanted to be good at first. And this, for me, represents a little bit of a game of incentives as well. Because in the end, depending on the structure of the company, there are incentives to act in a certain way. So if we look at it and we start analyzing what actually ownership, business model, funding, and governance mean, and how do they steer our company in a certain direction, I think this is where we can be tweaking tweaking the structures that we're using. And I think another important thing to remember is because there is a lot of like headlines and backlash against technology, that technology itself and the platforms, right, aren't bad in itself. Like we all enjoy, I enjoy Airbnb, I enjoy taking an Uber here and there, it's convenient. But it's not always this tech or platforms, but it's very often the systems that we operate them with. So I think what we need to do is take what's working, just all of these ideas are very often wonderful, and then improve the rest, the things that aren't working. But at the same time, nothing can be really changed with good intentions, right? Because I also thought like, yeah, I'm going to be different. I will get this funding, but I will always steer on course, and I will like, follow my purpose, and I'll be changing the world the way I envisioned it. But I think the change needs to be by design. And not only do we need, there's a lot of calls from civil society and governments to break up big tech, but I think that's one thing. But at the same time, the business world itself has to change. But fortunately, there is hope on the horizon, and there is what I call the movement emerging, or from different worlds. And I think the first thing I wanted to mention is something that you're very familiar with here in Spain, and as far as I could understand with my poor Spanish from the backstage, the platform co-op movement was mentioned in the previous talks. Platform co-ops is like it's a structure that's been there for a while. And even like walking here from my hotel, I saw all the supermarkets, the cooperativas, and so on. So this is a business structure where the workers co-own the company, right? There's a membership when you pay a little bit, and then you get the dividends out of it, and you can take decisions in a democratic way together. So the challenge here was platform cooperatives movement is trying to do, there's a lot of this happening also in the US and in the UK, trying to apply this model to technology and to the so-called sharing economy. That's so far a bit of a fake sharing, because so far what's being shared is more of the work and not the dividends. So trying to replicate this here. And I just copied here a banner of a cooperative, technological cooperative that exists in the US. It's very successful. It's called Savvy. This brings together patients who share insights about their diseases with research institutes and with academics, with medical research institute, and they do it for money. And the founder of this company is a woman. I talked to her. She has a chronic disease, and she didn't really like care that much about co-ops. She just wanted to didn't want to take investors from the outside, because she had a very clear vision for her company, and she wanted really to prioritize the patient's good, because she was one. She knew how it was. So she went for the platform co-op model, and it worked really, really well for her. You can see, like, entrepreneur first company, she got a lot of attention, and it's actually working. And there is also Stocksy, like a photographer's platform, where photographers upload the picture, sell it there, and also benefit without the intermediary directly from it. Many more examples that can be found on this one. Another thing that exists is actually being incubated in Berlin, where I'm based, but it's also expanding into US right now. It's a legal framework called the Steward Ownership. It's a fantastic legal help that changes the power dynamics in a way that this problem of the ownership is being solved by this requirement that the owners of the company are always the ones who actually run the company. There is never people who own the company who are from the outside, who have nothing to do with the company itself. So the CEO or people who run the company, who are in the part of the company, they are so-called stewards of the mission. And these companies can never be sold, so they never like go for an exit, which is also part of the problem. They run for an exit. So the companies can never be sold, never inherited. These companies are there to serve the mission. And at the same time, the profits are being seen as means to an end. And this doesn't have to be a co-op. This can be any company. I put here the example of Ecosia. I don't know if you're familiar. It's a search engine from Berlin, a search engine that plants trees. So their mission is to reforest parts of the world. And it's like a very well-functioning business, just that they just 2 years ago, I think, transitioned into a steward ownership. They bought out the initial investors, and they kind of make sure that they always stay on course with their purpose. There is much more to this. If you're interested in it, just Google Stewart Ownership. The foundation that promotes it's called the Purpose Fund, and Purpose Foundation, they also invest in this kind of companies, and they provide a so-called legal plug-in. So if the decisions are being made by the board or within the company, they have a one veto right if they see that the decisions that are being made are not on course with what the original mission was. Super interesting, and it's getting more and more steam in the US and in Europe. And lastly, I wanted to make you familiar with something called the Zebras Unite movement. As you can see, there are unicorns and zebras. This is a movement founded by four female founders in the US who are fed up with the existing status quo and venture capital and startup culture in Europe, as I mentioned, in the US, Europe, I guess, too, a little bit. And they wanted it to be more inclusive, more collaborative. They were women. They were struggling with getting funding for their startup. They didn't find it a good idea, exactly this exploitation of users, running for maximization of revenue. They wanted a different model to emerge, and that's what they advocate for. Right now, it is a movement that has around 4,000 entrepreneurs. It's from entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs and investors. And they are talking with a lot of investors who actually are starting to think about social impact investing, in ethical, so-called ethical investing, who also are showing signs of maybe we need to change and how do we do it. And these women, together with the whole movement, are talking and trying to tease out what is the model of funding, if you want to go for the big bucks, that will work for everyone, where we'll not just be maximizing profits, but we'll actually be developing sustainable companies who help each other. So I also encourage you to check it out. There are 40 chapters around the world. I'm in the process of creating one in Berlin. You should have one in Spain too, if it doesn't exist yet. Just to close it, what are the ways forward? So there's this a lot of things are happening. I think there is a lot of momentum. And I think we need to keep building the ecosystem. I think there is also something to do there for the cities, for encouraging this kind of new models and alternative thinking so that we get from the niche more into the mainstream. We need to make it attractive, because I think there is a lot of thinking about the NGOs or people, social entrepreneurs and so on, but there are also people who actually want to do business and they see themselves like, you know, like cool and hype and so on. And these models are needed, and they are very convincing also once you understand how they impact the society. So we need to make this attractive and strive for genuine change. So also make sure that there is not... I think about it about so-called purpose washing. If there is an environmental movement has a green washing, I think if the momentum comes that we need to like go for the mission and the purpose, you need to also be careful about if there is not too much smoke and mirrors happening there, but the change is genuine, including transparency and inclusion. So who has actually access to these new kinds of funding and who takes part in shaping and building these alternatives. And finally, I put an extra pink color here, no silos. Something that I experienced last week at ModsFest, I had a panel with people representing exactly this concept, and it was for the first time for them that they actually met. And they were really interested in each other's concept, and I believe they are not, shouldn't be in a competition, and they aren't. They are actually complementary. They're part of a bigger movement. So that's something, like, as with any other movement, we need to work together to actually change something. And that's something that we believe at Mozilla, especially in my team as well, that technology is made by people for people, so we really can change things. Because sometimes I think we forget about it, that there's magic happening, technology, big investors, and we just can't do anything. We can, and I think we're doing it. Because the decisions that we take today will shape our future. So just to close it, if you want to get more of this, there's a newsletter you can subscribe to, and feel free to contact me at kasia@mozillafoundation.org for more. And I would love to hear from you too. Thank you very much.
Okay, we have now 5 minutes for questions. Does anybody have any questions? Yeah.
Hi, amazing presentation. Congratulations. Regarding the female movement in California, I did took a look that on that before. They did a study regarding funding, correct? Like how much funding women get, and they tried to create like an unbiased algorithm or some sort of that, correct? And or that is also in relation with zebras, or because I remember they were very focused on like female funding.
Yes, there are four women, and that was kind of the origin of the frustration. So there is, being inclusive, not only for female, but also people of color, is like one of the things that they put on the banderas, right, on the flags. So I'm not sure about the algorithm exactly. That might very well be, but it's something that will be one of the, if I could imagine, metrics of how successful this movement is to actually channel more of the new kind of funding, and its newness also will be measured by like that is inclusive diverse. And accessible for people.
Yeah, yeah.
Diverse, exactly.
Diversity.
Yeah.
Diversity. Okay.
Another. There's another question over here.
Hi, David Bovell from London, living in Barcelona. The connection between purpose-driven organizations, and you listed and you told great stories about all of them and the reasons for them, and software development, let's say Mozilla Foundation. Mm-hmm. So making these organizations, let's say we're at a Decidem festival here, making governance software in a way, embedding law, legal hackers, and so forth in the code to make it more accessible to people, making the code legally viable, tying the investment, making it transparent. This relationship between code, law, governance, what do you know about that glues the aims and aspirations in the legal world to the work of open software developers that's exciting and interesting at the moment?
I think just as you listed, there is like a natural alignment in between these two worlds. And I think, I don't know if you attended the talk yesterday by Ben, he was talking about the public code and public code foundation and how we need it more. I think it's more of a, I see the structure, business structures more of the, like a precondition, and then whatever is beneficial to fulfilling this purpose. And very often, if your values are aligned with openness and collaboration and inclusivity, which that's what the movement advocates for, it makes sense to work with open software and to boost this. But that's a great thing I will take with me to explore if there are any connections. As I said yesterday, I was inspired by this presentation here, so I will explore the overlaps there with the public code and the open source. But I also think that I believe in open source. I work for Mozilla, and I think it brings a lot of benefits, but we can't fix everything at once. I think where the overlap makes sense, it makes sense in companies, but there will be some companies who will work with a closed code, but they will be advancing a social cause or some kind of mission that they find valuable in different ways. But I think, yeah, as I said, like open source is definitely a tool of how to align with the values that we want to see also executed with technology these days. Yeah, I want to say something more, but I forgot now. Feel free. We can chat a little bit more about that, especially if you know more about that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cassia.